Welcome to Creators. This week, who is responsible for your career development? The questions this class answers are, is your company responsible for your career development? Is your manager responsible for your career development? And are you responsible for your career development?
San Diego, we're headed your way. We will be in San Diego this month, November 14th and 15th, for an Effective Manager and an Effective Communicator conference. If you'd like to sign up, you can do that at manager-tools.com/training. Learn how to be a more effective manager. Learn how to communicate with the people with whom you work. Something for managers, something for professionals. You can attend one day, you can attend both days, and we'd love to see you in San Diego, November 14th and 15th this year. See you soon.
If you believe everything you read, career development is pretty much everybody else's responsibility. Companies say that they nurture career development on all of their recruiting pages. Any company you look at, the recruitment page says, we look after our employees' career development, always. HR says they provide career development resources on any of the internal pages and usually on the external pages too. They'll tell you about the training and the resources and the people you can talk to. It's always there. The preamble to your annual review probably says it's part of you and your manager co-creating your career. And whilst we love all of that to be true, a lot of the time it's marketing, especially on the recruiting pages of companies, because recruitment is marketing. For anyone who didn't know, I used to be a recruiter. So people go into recruiting thinking it's about putting people together with jobs that they're going to love. And they think it's like matchmaking and it's all very lovey-dovey. And it's the kind of place that people in social work should work. And it really is. And it's hardcore sales, which is why I was useless at it. But there is only really one person who's responsible for your career development, and that's you. And we're going to talk about why that is and what you can do about it.
All right. So what we're going to cover today is, who is responsible for your career development? Is it your company? Your manager? It's you are responsible for your career development.
So let's start with your company. So your company is not responsible for the development of your career, even though they'll tell you that they are, or that they take responsibility, or that they are helping your career development. Any good company wants to retain its people, and they would want to provide a supportive environment for their learning and growth, including providing training programs and mentoring and opportunities for on-the-job learning and so on. If they want to retain their people, they want to provide the kind of environment that people want to stay in. So it makes sense, if you're a good company, to retain your people and therefore to provide the kind of environment that retains people.
Let's be clear, though. Employee turnover costs the company money. There are costs of losing an employee in terms of lost productivity, as well as additional costs for the recruitment of someone new. We know that companies retain people because it costs so much to lose them. That's really the end all of retention. So even when a company doesn't lose an employee, but needs to hire someone new because of growth, it is cheaper to promote someone from within and hire at a lower level than it is to hire a manager or above. That supportive environment for learning and growth, the training programs, and so on, have to cost less than the employee turnover they prevent. So it's not a case of the company providing those things because it's beneficial to the employees. When it comes down to it, it's pure cost-benefit analysis. It's for the bottom line, because that's what the organization is looking out for, their bottom line. It costs a lot less.
Someone somewhere is looking at employee turnover costs and looking at the cost of training and all of the other things that come under career development. And then making sure that all of that career development stuff costs less than employee turnover. And it's a very, very simple calculation for them. Now, companies should, in inverted commas or air quotes, have fair processes for promotions and advancement. And they should provide opportunities for employees to take on new challenges and responsibilities. But companies will only take those niceties in as far as it makes sense for them to do so. So if you think of those National Geographic programs you've seen, you'd like to think that the lions and the zebras or the zebras live companionably on the plains. That's how they should live. There's enough room for both of them. And as long as the lions aren't hungry, that's how it is, right? That you can just imagine the plains and the lions are on one side and the zebras are on the other side and everybody's lovely. And you can keep telling the lions that they should live companionably with the zebras, the same as you can keep telling companies they should have all of these processes and they should be fair and balanced and all of those things. If the lions get hungry, the zebras are at risk. It doesn't matter how much we tell the lions they should be nice to the zebras. They are going to eat a zebra when they're hungry. And in the same way, if a company has the choice and they have a project and they have the choice to put an inexperienced manager, project manager on that project who can learn and grow from being the project manager, and that risks the customer or the project or that success of that project, and they think that's too risky, they will put an experienced manager on that project and not give the inexperienced person the opportunity to learn and grow, because that's really a nicety to the company against the risk of having the project not be delivered.
Yeah. And ideally, a company will communicate transparently about the career paths within the organization and the skills, experience, and performance needed to progress. Say, ideally, in the perfect world, right? It would be clear to you which paths are open to you and what you need to do to get to the next level. Again, these are ideals that few companies live up to. I kind of thought of an analogy for this one, the game of chutes and ladders, mm-hmm. right? You can see the end goal, a path that you could take, but then as you play the game, you can shoot up or you can fall down, and it's really, there's not a whole lot of control, even though you know what path you could take or you're hoping to take. And that's what it is in a company. Even though it might be a straight shot to you, things can come up. So I was thinking of chutes and ladders.
Which I would call snakes and ladders. So that's another thing that's weird. And a lot of it is outside forces as well. It's the economy, or it's changes in customers, or it's changes in product lines. And it's not like anybody deliberately gets in your way and makes things not happen for you or takes away those opportunities for you. A lot of the time, it's just not exactly luck, but just happenstance. You're either in the right place or the wrong place. And the way to put yourself in the right place more often, just in case you're not bored of us saying this already, is to have a good network. And to therefore know where the opportunities are, and people know who you are. And so when that opportunity comes up, they'll be in touch with you and ask you about whether or not you want to do it. But a lot of the time, it is just the luck of being in the right place at the right time. And sometimes the bad luck of being in the wrong place at the wrong time. And most companies, no, in fact, all companies, because the job of a company is not to strive for the ideal situation for the employees. Any publicly traded company is striving for the ideal situation for the shareholders, and that's to make as much profit as possible. Every action that the company takes that positively affects an employee is weighed against the risk of loss of revenue that losing that employee would cost. So every single action that a company takes, if it is publicly traded, has to be weighed against whether or not that would lose a dollar of profit for the shareholders, because the company is run for profit for the shareholders. It's not for anybody else. And that's a very black and white way of thinking about it. And yes, the world really isn't that black and white. It's in shades of gray. And there's reasons why companies would want to have lots of as we said, if you want to retain your people, you would want all of those training opportunities and support opportunities and opportunities for your people to learn and grow and feel comfortable in their environment and all of the nice things. But when it comes down to it, it is a black and white decision. And websites and intranets may paint a pretty picture, but when it comes down to layoffs and paychecks, that's the bald truth, and most people won't tell you that. And hopefully it's not too much of a shock that we just did.
Yeah, it really comes down to we don't live in an ideal world, right? We can hope, but that's not necessarily the case.
I am super excited to be able to announce to y'all that there is a Manager Tools chatbot. We've decided it's a he. He is not ready for primetime just yet, but we have two ways for you to find out more this November. First, Mike Ozen will be hosting a pop-up executive speaker series session on November 30th, in which he'll dive into the development process of our revolutionary MT chatbot, and we'll answer all of your questions. Once he's shared how far that chatbot has come, Mike will also be sharing exciting details about where we're headed next. We believe that the most forward-thinking members of our audience are part of the Executive Speaker Series, and that's why we're offering them exclusive access to the use of our chatbot in return for their feedback and contribution to our vision. In order to have access to Mike's session, the video replay, and the chatbot itself, you must have purchased the Executive Speaker Series access before November 30th. Don't wait. Purchase by going to the website and selecting Executive Speaker Series from the product drop-down menu.
All right, let's talk about your manager. Is your manager responsible for your career development? No, your manager is not responsible for the development of your career. Now, any good manager who wants to retain his people would want to provide a supportive environment for learning and growth, including providing training programs, mentoring, and opportunities for on-the-job learning, and so on.
The same as the company, right? If the manager wants to retain his people, then he has to provide all those nice things that the company would provide. Whether the company provides them at a company level or not, a manager would want to provide them at his level or her level or not. And they should, again, in inverted commas or air quotes, offer regular performance feedback and recognize achievements and guide team members in their career progression. But let's recognize that your manager is not the cardboard cutout of a perfect manager any more than you're the cardboard cutout of the perfect employee. That's a recognition that somewhere in your 20s you make and think, oh.
Right. Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
That might be tough to hear, too.
I might be half of the problem here. At least. Right. And some managers are good at offering feedback and recognizing achievements and guiding employees in their career, and some just aren't. And some are technically brilliant and not good with people, and some are technically okay and brilliant at giving feedback and directing people. And, you know, everybody has different strengths and they've been promoted based on those strengths. And some will grow into their skills in those areas, and some never will. And it's not really fair to lay any discontent that you have about your career at the feet of your manager, because she can only do what she can with the skills she has and the resources she has and the ability she has at the time, whereas you have your entire career. So one little part of it, to rely on one person who doesn't have all the levers that you do, is really not fair.
Yeah. And we would want managers to be having conversations with you about your career development, where you want to go, and helping you get there. However, we also want you to recognize that managers are operating within the bounds of the company that they're in. So kind of back to what Wendy was saying, these kinds of conversations are kind of nice to haves that disappear when demands on a team are high. So again, in an ideal world, we would be having these conversations. If you had the perfect manager, you would be having these conversations. But spoiler alert, that doesn't exist. And it especially doesn't exist in a downturn or when the company is being squeezed. Your manager can't create opportunities that don't exist, no matter how much she might want to. Anything that she is able to create for you has to meet the company's objectives too. And that's the shareholders' return, not just employee satisfaction.
I remember all of those conversations that I've had in my career, and they've always been around annual review time. And by, you know, my annual reviews have always come in December. And by the third week of January, everybody's forgotten what we've said, forgotten what we decided anybody's ambitions were, because we're already drowning in work and we're just back on the day-to-day treadmill of doing work. And they were always idealized anyway, you know, oh, we want to give you the opportunity to do X. And there weren't that many opportunities to do X, certainly not in our day-to-day, because if there were, we would have already been doing it. So it's difficult to put those. They're a bit like New Year's resolutions. You have to be really determined to get them to happen. And if I look back, now I'm old, I think when I was at the beginning of my career, I thought that career development was something that was very definite and very, like it was a definite thing that was going to happen. It was like a syllabus and we were going to follow it, you know, like in school. And that wasn't it. It was a 1% of my work year, if that, unless I made it more, and I had to make it more. So that comes to the third part of our cast, which is you are responsible for your career development.
The person that comes up with that plan, what we were talking about, it's on you to do it and to make sure you're making progress on it. It's up to you to decide what you want to do, what your strengths are, and what you want to develop. Throughout your career, others will tell you what they think you should do, what they think your strengths are, and where they think you should concentrate. But in the end, it's really up to you to decide whether you want to take that advice. And again, as people tell you what they think or what you should do, that is such a small part of your career that they only touch a little bit. You have to think the long game, and you have to essentially motivate yourself and have those conversations with you, those New Year's resolutions. That's a constant conversation that you can only have with you, right? And that's the same in your career. You have to always be talking to yourself about that, as well as others. But at the end of the day, it's going to be up to you.
You will be given performance feedback, either formally or informally, and whether you're told it's feedback or not, whether your boss is the kind who tells it like it is or the kind who doesn't tell you until your performance review, you are getting performance feedback from people around you all the time. If you're getting snarky emails from someone, that's feedback. If your phone never rings and nobody ever asks for your advice, that's feedback. If you are the person that everybody comes to, that's feedback. If your reports are always late, that's feedback when the system says your report is late. You are getting feedback, and it's up to you to decide what that is telling you about and whether or not you need to improve it, how you're going to do it, and to decide to do so. Now, sometimes a company will step in via your manager and say, if you don't improve this, then you will lose your job. But most of the time, most of us aren't in that position. Most of the time, most of us are cruising in the kind of middle lane, and it's up to us to decide which things we want to change. And there's always so many things to change. I can think of 25 things I could change right now. And I can't change 25 things at once, but I could choose one. And it's up to you to decide which one that you want to change.
Yeah, you are always receiving information about all aspects of your life, but especially with your career. And if you want more feedback from your manager, you're going to have to ask for it. No one can read your mind. They can't assume that you want all that information, so you can't ask for it. Many managers are afraid to give negative feedback because they worry about hurting your feelings or their direct feelings. There's always a hesitation for that negative feedback because we don't know how people are going to take it. But the only way to change and get better is to know what you can do better, right? We make mistakes. Mistakes are okay. It's taking that adjusting feedback and doing something with it. So sometimes we're going to have to ask and let your managers know that it's okay, that you want that information, because that's the only way you're going to get better. So if you want to hear it, you're going to have to ask for it, and you're going to have to be persistent with asking for it.
You're going to have to ask multiple times until someone says, finally says, all right, I'll give you this tiny little bit of negative feedback and see what happens. And then you've got to accept it gracefully and take it on board and do something about it to prove that, yes, you can take it, because they are literally afraid of giving you this feedback. You have to tell your manager what your career goals are. You have to take the opportunities for learning and development, whether they're offered by your company or you find them on your own. Is this something that's offered to you by your company? Even if you think, oh, I already know this, or it's going to be, you know, low level and or it's not worth my time, take it anyway. Even if the only thing you learn is you meet somebody from another department, or you meet somebody from the trainer's department, or you get to know some other person from the company, you've learned something and it was worth going. And you've shown your willingness and openness and desire for training and development, which means you'll get more of it.
And I love the point about even if you just meet someone, because guess what? That expands your network.
Exactly.
And you might build a relationship, a good one. And we know that is the end all be all, having good relationships with those in your company, in your network. And to emphasize, your manager cannot read your mind. So having these conversations. Now, if you think that your manager or your company should be playing a greater role, remember that the combination of you, your manager, and your company is only temporary. This combination will last maybe 5 years out of the 50 you're going to be working. The common element throughout your career is not the manager, is not your company. It's you. You are the common element. You are the one key thing that happens at every step. It's you.
So your company and your manager are temporary. In fact, I saw something recently. It was somebody who was older and had started working virtually only as part of the pandemic and had retired, I think, and then come back to work. And had said how different it was to be working virtually and how different he found modern companies. I think he'd worked for one company for a long time and he was working in what he called a modern company. And he had had four managers in 6 months. And he just found that astounding, that he would literally leave on a Friday night and come in on Monday morning and have a new manager because it was on a different project, or the manager had been moved and a new one had come in, or they just reshuffled things. And I don't know how typical that is, but it's more common than it used to be, that's for sure. So, you know, your manager is only temporary, but you yourself, you are the constant in your own life.
All right. To summarize, your career can be a river that you raft down where the river's chaos dictates your journey, or it can be one that you canoe down where you control the speed and direction of the journey. In the very best cases, careers are a co-creation between the company, your manager, and you, but you're the one on the river. So if you're dissatisfied, it's up to you to decide to get on the raft or get in the canoe.
Thanks, Amanda.
All right. Thanks, Wendy. Bye, everyone.
Bye, everyone.